Things are good.
What progress? What do you have for progress?
Look, I mean, I think we're really, besides that the revenue numbers are good, but we're really digging into financial planning. And, it's becoming now part of the process, especially for new accounts. So now a person comes in. Actually, I had a big call yesterday out of the blue. You might have even heard this guy's story on the news. But he's a friend of mine from UPS from 40 years ago. He talked to another UPSer whose account I brought in about 3 months ago. And we're all kind of friends from way back.
Way back, yeah.
You know, but I saw him 2.5 years ago at his son's funeral. So did you hear the story of the UPS driver that went to a jewelry store, got jacked by the thieves?
Oh, no.
That there was a pursuit on car by 300 Metro Dade police officers, and they shot the crap out of the UPS car to kill the thieves, and they killed the driver, too. Do you remember that story?
No.
It was like something that you see in like a movie. It was 300 cops shooting at the car.
Oh my God.
And they riddled everybody in the car, including the driver.
The driver was the UPS guy.
The driver was his son.
Oh my God. What a heartbreak.
My friend's son. So I went to the funeral. I said, look, I know a good attorney. He says, you know, we got a guy already. So he calls me yesterday and he said, look, I need guidance because we're facing a probable big money day. I mean, he thinks 20 to 50 million. They're suing five police departments.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, how's it? Okay. First of all, you know, I got up to date on his life, his wife, et cetera, da da da, you know, and, you know, because it was important to do that. He's my friend. And then I thought, okay, so how's the case going? He says, okay. I said, I used your line. I think, you got to repeat the line to me, but I said, are you completely happy with your attorney? And could you refer him out?
Right. Can you enthusiastically endorse?
Okay. That's what I needed. Okay. I didn't say that. I said, could you refer him? Are you completely happy? He said, no. My wife doesn't like him and doesn't trust him at all. And I'm on the fence. I said, all right, let me talk to you about another guy. So I talked to him about an attorney that I've used who I just did a financial plan for. I just did a financial plan for this guy and his family. Okay. And I said, so, I mean, this guy's got a tremendous background, you know, Harvard attorney, managing partner at the best litigators in Coral Gables. You know, I met him through the church. He was a younger guy. My brother was his spiritual mentor at the church in a men's group there called Emmaus. And that's how I met. His name's Javier. He goes by Javi. That's how I met Javi. And then he became my attorney. Then he became my client. And we were pretty close, you know. And Javi's working on a big case right now. Do you remember the case of a year ago of the collapse of a building in Surfside, Florida?
Oh, God, yeah.
Javi's the lead attorney.
Wow.
So he handles big cases. You know? So I said, okay, so that guy I'll introduce you to, and he can give you some guidance. He says, well, how does it work if I drop my attorney because he's working on a contingency? Do I owe him fees? I said, look, let them talk about this. Let you talk to Javi. I'm sure that something can be worked out if you decided to change. They can work it out, you know? So talk to Javi if you're not completely happy. So I lined him up for that, and I lined him up for a financial plan. That's it. So that was, but I got that because another UPS guy I did a financial plan for, I took him through the whole romance period, popped the question, you know, the whole process, did the plan, bagged the account. Now he's got an account. His account's about $1.5 million, you know, and, but he could be an advocate, and he referred this guy back to me.
Yeah. Beautiful.
You know, so
UPS, you know, there's a lot of money there.
There is.
I know. It was a big deal.
One of my goals is to make headway into these guys that I used to know as a young man. And now they're retired or retiring. Actually, probably retired now. Most of the guys I knew, and with big bucks. And yeah. I want to work my way through that network.
It's a good idea. I mean, you know, if they're managers, they got $5 million. If they're just workers, they got $1.5 million.
You know, it's funny. Leo's listening. He's across the desk from me. That's exactly the numbers that I told him. I said, if they're management, they're north of $5 million. And if they're regular drivers, they're north of $1 million. It's exactly the numbers I told him. You know,
yeah.
When I had my call with him and with George. So it is, yeah, I think that I can make some headway in that community now that I'm bagging some of those guys as clients.
And they're good guys. They're not, they're guys absolutely. That listen, and I like yeah. them.
Yeah, absolutely.
We put on seminars for those guys when it went public, you know.
This guy Camejo was the COO of Latin America at his peak there.
Ooh.
Of all Latin America.
He's got money.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, he got fleeced in 2 divorces.
Oh, divide by 2 every time.
I got his money, $1.5 million.
Yeah.
He had like $7 million at one point.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you can do
like
economically.
Yeah.
it's terrible. You can marry, you just can't divorce.
Not once, but twice. So
yeah, that's a really bad deal. You can marry and have your wives pass away and then marry another rich one and then have her pass away.
That's the multiplier.
See?
Yeah, we don't do it that way. We're not that smart.
You divide by two and it's not smarter. Good math.
They're smarter. We're not that smart. But, anyways, that happened. And then, you know, it's funny. I've gotten more referrals. So I got a referral from a dentist that's on my lake for another dentist. We met for lunch. And again, let's go to the financial plan, blah, blah, blah. We did the whole data gathering. And now George tomorrow is ready to review the plan with me that we have done, and we'll probably grab lunch with Brian next week. And he comes strongly referred from a good buddy of his who's my client, who's become a personal friend. He's a neighbor. He lives on the lake, you know, and, that's that. And then I had another referral from my largest client with one of his tenants. And, there again, we did a data gathering. I'm holding back on opening an account or jumping into that stuff. Financial plan first.
Good.
Let's do this the right way. If I can, some people are like, well, you know, so if I test the waters on just setting up the data gathering when I get the referral, but if I feel they're hesitant, I say, let's meet for coffee or lunch. That way we can get to know each other a little bit more. And then again, the purpose there is again, to close them on the financial plan and get started that way, you know, and a month ago, I had another referral again, data gathering. I still haven't delivered that plan, but I already set up an account because she wanted to hurry and do that. So we set up the account, opened it up. Then we did the data gathering. Now again, I'm ready to present the plan there. So a lot of that stuff going on. You know,
just an idea. Dentists are good at understanding. They live and die by introductions.
Hmm.
You don't think about it, but that's how oral surgeons, orthodontists, all those guys live and die by referrals. So they network with each other, take each other out to lunch, talk to each other. They are very close.
That sounds like Ray, doesn't it? It sounds like Ray. Mm-hmm. It's funny because that's how this guy is. That is exactly. In fact, he immediately became an advocate.
See, you know? They understand it because they live and die. I have a very good friend that's an oral surgeon. He's retired now, but 100% of his business came from dentists.
Wow. Interesting.
100%.
And these guys are not mega, but they have seven figures to invest.
Oh, they can have 5 million. Easy.
Yeah.
The surgeons, particularly.
Yes. This guy, yeah, this new guy. Okay. My client is liquid for seven.
Let's see.
But this other guy's maybe three or four is what I see.
Yeah.
In the plan.
They're really, yeah. Honestly, it's funny because you think, okay, dentist? No, dentist, because a lot of times there's not insurance involved. They just get paid a lot of money. They just make money. The same with veterinarians. You think, okay, veterinarians, come on. Oh, no, they make a lot of money.
From me. I keep them in business.
Right. And they're great people because they love dogs. You know, they love animals. They're sweet people. I mean, it's true. And dentists are the nicest. It seems weird, but dentists to me are so nice. And so are veterinarians. I think I'd specialize in those guys if I had a practice today. Because they're just nice human beings. I just like them.
Yep.
So that's a good – that. See, when people understand the networking and the referral process thing, a guy like you can just go in and clean up because they get it.
That's a good tip because it's funny. You've kind of described Ray, my neighbor, and I don't have to ask him. He's willing. He wants to refer to me.
Right.
He wants to. And he referred Brian.
Yeah.
And listen to this. So I pick Ray up. We go, we meet Brian for lunch. It goes well. He tells me, Al, but I would have liked to have seen the account being opened. No, this is the way you put it. I would have liked to have seen us opening the account today.
Wow.
And I said, well, I just felt that the plan is important, Ray, and I should follow that process. He goes, yeah, I just wanted to get that account open for us. he's part of the Molini group of Morgan Stanley now. I just hired him. You know?
No, that's called a center of influence. See, and you feed that. He's got a desire to close. He's got a desire to help you.
Yep.
So you cannot, you think, well, I can't ask him all the time. Yes, you can. Yeah. You could meet with him weekly.
He wants to. We just talked about him this morning. I haven't talked to him in a week. He's saying, hey, what's going on with you? You know,
you should talk to him weekly. You should have a weekly luncheon appointment with him and another dentist.
I probably could. You're not kidding.
I'm not kidding you. Why don't you test?
No, you're describing this guy.
All right. So we're going to test it. We're going to test it. Okay. We're going to test and see how much pressure we can put on this situation for maximum return without blowing it up. Okay.
All right.
And so you're going to say to him, you're going to have lunch with him and you're going to say, look, this went so well. I think we got something going on here that really be fun for both of us. Let's have a weekly lunch. And every week you bring somebody and we'll close them together.
All right.
Let's see how long we can keep this thing going.
All right.
All right.
I think he'd be game. I mean, last week I was at his house because he needed tile work done and I just had tile work done in my bedroom. So I took my tile guys over to his house and we measured it. This is 10 o'clock in the morning on a work day and I'm measuring, helping the guys measure tiles, helping them with the design of his, he built like a landing on the beach and wanted it tiled up, blah, blah, blah. And then I had to run. I took off, but you know, nothing to do with investments.
No, no, and, but see, what you did was you referred him to a guy that could get the job done.
Right. Cool.
But you didn't even think you did anything. You did. You helped him. See?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, well, that's what he likes. He wants.
He's a good. You're former Air Force, aren't you, Rob?
Navy pilot. Navy.
Okay. He's former Air Force. And that's another thing. I have him, Dave, another prospect, former Air Force. He was an Air Marshal. Dave was an Air Marshal.
Whoa.
For 30 okay. years. You know? And he's like the lake. He's the guy that brings the people together on the lake. He'll text me, hey man, I'll be there in 5 minutes on your dock if you want to jump on my boat. And I'll bring, you know, like a bottle of wine or something. We'll jump on. And he says, all you need to do is bring interesting conversation. That's so he picks up the guy from the lake. And then Sean, I don't know his last name, but I just met him. Sean, I think though that he's Navy because he was, what do you call it? Drove was it the F-6 fighters?
Yeah, he would have been a, F-16 or F-14s,
right.
Off a carrier. Yeah.
There you go. And he was part of the Thunderbirds for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And he was a trainer in Miramar. He was Viper in Miramar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think Miramar would be Navy, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And the Blue Angels are Navy. Yeah.
So he's an interesting guy. And what are the Thunderbirds? Are they Navy?
They're Air Force.
Maybe he was Air Force something. I think he was Thunderbirds. I'm not sure. Maybe it was the Blue Angels.
But if he was Miramar, he's Navy.
Yeah. Yeah. But, anyway, so these are some of the guys here on the lake and they pick me up and we hang out and it's pretty cool stuff. And Dave, maybe Sean too, as I get to know him, might become a prospect. I mean, I don't know if he's a man of wealth.
Yeah, and but sometimes they can be, you know, if he's a center of influence, you can serve him and he can serve you. And
yeah,
you know, sure. He can just bring people together.
And he told me something interesting last time. I go, why'd you buy on the lake? He says, your house. I said, what? He said, Al, his wife's name is Shauna. So it's Sean and Shauna. That's why you can't forget their name. So he says, Shauna and I used to pass by your house all the time just to look at it. And we'd park in front of your house and look at your house.
Yeah.
And we were like in awe of your home. And finally I said, I got to see what's behind this home. And then we saw the lake and we said, okay, that's it. We're going to buy Grundy Lake. You know? And I said, wow, that's really cool, man. That is really cool. So, anyway, so these are some of the guys that are on the pontoon rides. And I met Ray on one of the pontoon rides, my dentist client. And, Ray, I never had to pop the question. He popped it to me. When he got the like, and he goes, hey man, I want you to look at my stuff. Look at my accounts. And then, you know, and then I took him to a ball game. And I looked at the statement right there and I said, okay, you need a financial plan. Then I went that route. We did the whole plan, boom, 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 delivered that over lunch and then did the account opening and brought over part of the money, you know, where it's coming over in pieces, you know? So, anyways, that's the story there.
Yeah. You want to kind of do some experiments with this stuff. Seriously. You want to kind of go, okay, I'm going to see how many weeks in a row we can have a new prospect.
Instead of I might records. Be seeing Ray every week.
Right.
He loves it. He right. loves it. And he's retired.
Tell him you want to set a world record.
And he's kind of like adopted me too because so he's an old bachelor, doesn't have a family. Not married.
Nothing.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know, he's got a cousin that lives on the other side of town. That's probably his closest relative. And then his cousin's in Tennessee. He's originally from Tennessee. And then moved down here with the Air Force, the Homestead Air Force Base.
Okay.
And that's how he first moved to Miami. And then, you know, he studied dentistry in college and then he started his practice here and this is where he had it all his life. in South Miami.
But, you're going to have a good time with him. He's a nice, he's a guy that's a little lonely, would like to have a friend.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're going to give him something important to do. And you're going to have fun doing it. Ask him about the orthodontist and the oral surgeons and what that network would look like.
Okay. Okay.
And who are the right guys? Remember, we're building a list of enthusiastically endorsed professionals.
Yes. Okay.
And very good. We're gonna find the best in the world, right here in Miami.
I'm gonna write that down. The enthusiastically endorsed, because that's the, I was skipping on the verbiage.
Well, a client of mine is putting together a party for the enthusiastically endorsed professionals in his community. You could do that. So you make it formal, right? In the end, you can only have one of each. Okay, for the party.
Okay.
So it's the best oral surgeon. It's the best cardiologist. It's the best dentist. It's the best veterinarian. It's the best, all of them. And you bring them all together and you have a party.
Okay.
And you give them name tags. And, if they've been invited more than 1 year, you put two stars on there.
Okay.
On their name tag.
Okay.
And if they've been there 3 years, that's 3 years they've been invited to the party. And if somebody else is better than them, they get dropped.
Okay.
It's kind of crazy. It's a fun idea, but it would be, it would work with you because you get the networking thing.
Let me ask you, Rob, who, in asking my client for enthusiastically endorsed professionals, who are the main people that I should ask for? What professions?
Well, you, you start with the ones that are the most, that can refer the easiest to you.
Mm-hmm.
CPAs, attorneys, estate planning attorneys, all the standard ones.
Okay.
But what you've discovered is you don't need to have the standard ones. You can have a dentist that refers you, right? You could have a cardiologist that refers you. And what, look at your life, right? Look at your life. You have intersected with some really important people in your community because of your health issues.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't you have?
By the way, just to let you know, Ray, my dentist, what did he like about me? He's part of the Zipper Club too.
Perfect.
He had a double bypass 2 years ago. So I was recovering when they picked me up on that boat ride. It was my first time back. Like they had to like help me on the boat because I couldn't walk well. And Ray said, don't worry. I went through this shit 2 years ago. I had a double bypass.
So,
you know, so now you're part of the Zipper Club too. So we had that in common too. That was, something that, that attracted him to me that we had that in common. We'd gone through
the same experience. Of course, because you've gone through hell together. But you can see that, you know, that these people that your cardiologist, if you, you know, if he's one of the best in the world, and you like him, he could be one of your enthusiastically endorsed guy.
He, this guy actually would be. My cardiologist is. He's top notch and he put me at peace. I don't know if it was his tone of voice, how he said, you know, probably everything, what he said, his tone of voice. I just, cause there's a lot of cardiologists that dropped in to say hi when I was at the hospital. I was there for 3 weeks, but he was the one that really stuck out.
My point is that it doesn't need to be a CPA, an attorney, and all the boring things.
Now, let me ask you this.
It can be interesting people. I mean, it can be very interesting professionals that everybody needs sometime in their life, right? Like you said about the lawyer, right? You got the list already.
Yeah. So a guy like my cardiologist, for example, how would I approach him?
Just say, hey, look, you know, I really liked what you did. I've got a list of enthusiastically endorsed professionals in our community. I'd like you to be my enthusiastically endorsed professional as a cardiologist. You go, well, that's awfully nice. What do I have to do? You just come to an event once a year. I have an event once a year where I bring together the best of the best and they mix and mingle and get to know each other, and it'll be good for you. You'll meet some really interesting people in the community. Just think of it's just one cardiologist, right?
Yeah.
One brain surgeon, one veterinarian, one this, one that. I mean, just think about it, right? Everybody needs those people sometime. Maybe it's the best lawn guy in the market, right?
And how about, I mean, do you think he would be averse to doing business with me since I'm his client? You think that would hold him back?
No. I think he'd want to do business with you. You're obviously going to refer business to him.
Right. Okay. Okay.
I mean, it's no different than your buddy, the dentist, you know?
Okay. Okay.
There's no possible negative that can come out of this.
Okay.
There's nothing negative. It's just good people, really professional people getting to know each other. And over time, you're going to, some people will drift in of the group and some people will drift out of the group.
Okay.
But if you do it every year, it'd really be fun for them to get to know each other, see each other. Maybe you do it, you take them out on a boat or have a dinner party, or you know, someplace where they can lounge around your house, someplace where they can be together but not be on top of each other.
Okay.
And you could start it out with just a get together, yeah, and a cocktail party.
He's a friend of Heckman's.
And have you?
I have probably the most infamous orthopedist here in Miami that lives three doors down.
Infamous?
He's a great orthopedist.
Famous.
And infamous would be a negative, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's famous. So his name is Keith Heckman, and he happens to be friends with my cardiologist. This is a complete coincidence, you know? And maybe something can be done from that perspective and invite a couple of doctors, and, you know, who knows, maybe I could do something there, you know?
Yeah, don't worry about it being perfect, right?
Yeah.
Just start.
Yeah.
Set it up for the summer around July 4th and do a little celebration.
And then this is a small world thing. So he was my orthopedist. And then when Leo comes aboard the team, he says, yeah, he did two surgeries on my knee.
Really?
He works with a lot of athletes. Like, he's the go-to guy for the Dolphins, right? Or for University of Miami.
The Hurricanes.
He's the go-to guy for the Hurricanes.
So he's a fun guy anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or at least he wants to be around athletes.
I would classify him as a fun guy. He's a pretty serious guy. He's a pretty serious guy. But, I mean, he's got a sense of humor, and he's a very nice man. But he's a serious guy. And then his wife has bonded with my girlfriend.
So there you go.
Lunch together and they hang out, and, you know, that's nice.
So you bring you either do it with just the guys and gals, or you bring the spouses. I mean,
yeah.
the spouses changes it to make it a real social event.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And that way you'll formalize that enthusiastically endorsed list.
Okay.
So one of the things to do is to every month make a list of the question you're going to ask this month. So can you enthusiastically endorse your blank? Something that you don't have the guy, right? So estate planning attorney, can you enthusiastically endorse your estate planning attorney? Well, that opens up a whole conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have one. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Or yeah, I've got a great one. Terrific. I probably should meet him.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So that way you build a list for every client of all the professionals in their life, which they've never really put together in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
And then you cross-reference that, and all of a sudden you've got the best dentist in the community. Because, you know, 8 people have them, or the best veterinarian, or the best whatever. Mm-hmm. So you become... What happened? Look, you already are a center of influence, but you just don't know it. You know what I mean? Yep. You're already referred the tile guy.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's the best tile guy there is.
He probably is. He's a weird guy, but he probably is. Well, he's a strange bird. But he's good. He's good at what he does.
Yeah. And you know, like somebody said, well, do you a plumber? Well, no, but you could do the guy that owns the plumbing company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got Bud as his best plumber and you love Bud and you call Bud every time. But you know, Harry owns the plumbing company. So you invite Harry and his wife because you like you like Bud. Right?
Okay.
Now Harry's got the money. Bud doesn't, but Harry does.
Okay.
So all of a sudden you've got the, you know, just think about heating and air conditioning companies. It just make a fortune in this part of the world. A fortune.
Let me switch topics because I wanted to ask you work with a lot of big producers. So some of your more successful people, what would an average schedule look like for them in a day? Like what time do they get started? When do they do their emails? When do they prospect and close? Like how does it look for the average stud producer in your network?
The average has about 70 clients. And they, you know, they do somewhere, you know, everybody does different amounts of business, but so if you had 70 clients, 100 clients is 5 contacts a day with Supernova. Mm-hmm. With 70 clients, it would be 4 a day. So the average person that I work with would do 4 meetings a day. And they probably meet with probably one prospect every other day, I would think, something like that, depending on how much they're hustling. That's pretty much their day, 5 meetings a day.
And what time do they usually crank up at?
Well, it just depends on, you know, some of them are real early risers. I got a guy in Louisville, Kentucky. He's a sole proprietor. He humps it every day. He's got a great team, but he's by himself and he's 66 years old and he's still humping it. He's raised his goal every year by 10 million. He's at 50 million net new this year he'll bring in. And that's not huge, but for him, it's huge in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yep.
So okay. How does he work? He works hard. He works hard. He's up. He's moving all the time. He knows exactly. He's got his pipeline. He knows exactly who's in his pipeline. Every Friday, his assistant brings the pipeline and they go through it. How much money is coming in? Where are our prospects? What are we going to do for next week? How are we moving the pipeline? People through the pipeline. And she's brutal with him. If he doesn't do something, she just kills him.
She's
become an FA now. She's an FA and they've hired another person to take her place. Okay. And they're hiring an intern. He's got legacy issues. You know, he wants to pass it on to somebody. He doesn't really have the team yet. So we're helping him build the team to take over his practice. A lot of my clients are in that situation. They're 65, 66, looking to transition their team to somebody else. So they got a financial planner on their team. They're going to be hiring another person. You know, they're all kind of doing that.
Do these guys generally don't work evenings?
No.
They don't work evenings. They're usually, you know, till 4 or 5 o'clock and they check out.
Yeah, like Raj's like the number one guy in Bank America and Merrill Lynch. And he has got 9 other people on his team. They're all in Chicago. He's in Florida. And I coach each one of his people on his team, plus him, plus the team together. So they were a mess. Okay. Now they're starting to be a pretty good team, but they didn't have anybody organizing and leading and kind of running things. And he wants to retire in 4 or 5 years. So he needs to get his act together in terms of them. So, they work hard. He works hard, but he's looking for 50 million at a crack, you know.
So it's like a $50 million account.
Yeah. $100 million accounts, $1 billion accounts. He's top Barron's guy, you know, Raj Bhatia. So he's a little different, but,
and he's in Florida and his team is in Illinois.
Yeah. Chicago. He's in Naples.
Okay.
He's a wonderful guy. I hired him 40 years ago.
That's Southern Chicago anyways, Naples.
Yeah, it is. I know.
There's a lot of Midwestern people there.
Yeah, exactly right. You're exactly right. But no, there's no magic. It's, you know, the guys that, you know, Raj is fully engaged. That's what he does. He's a very good money manager. And, he manages the money pretty much. And, he does 15 million and has, you know, whatever billions.
So and as a Merrill Lynch guy.
He's a Merrill Lynch guy. He's always been Merrill Lynch. 40 years at Merrill.
Would you say that your top guys are more wirehouse guys or yeah. You have not independent types, more wirehouse guys?
No, it's a little bit hard for me to find, you know, a network in the independents. I've got some independents. That one guy that's throwing the party is an independent.
Okay.
The independents I like because they are more entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
They do things like throw the party. He basically does whatever. If he thinks it's a good idea, he'll do it.
Yeah. You know, the thing is at one of the things that, at a wirehouse is you can't do it. They'll stop you.
Yeah. I mean, you could do this. You could do this party. There'd be nothing compliance wise that you couldn't do.
Right.
But you know, I consult with him on his technology and stuff like that, which you guys don't have any control over. So.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay. All right. I just wanted to hear about other successful guys and see what, it motivates me to hear about that.
It's really kind of fun. And it's like, so you hired Raj. What was he doing? He was just an Indian from, you know, he was an immigrant, and he was the first Indian that was hired at Merrill Lynch. I was in Chicago, Merchandise Mart. He had gotten his master's degree, and he was looking at Citibank and Merrill Lynch. And I interviewed him and said, this is the smartest guy I've ever interviewed. I'm going to hire him. So he and I worked together for 7 years building his practice. And then I went to Indiana. He stayed and kind of grew things, but he's very, very smart, you know, scary smart kind of guy. Private equity kind of smart guy, you know, he knows everybody now, and he doesn't do, I mean, when I reconnected with him, I reconnected just, he invited me to his 40th anniversary, right, of his employment. I went up and he got an award and he wanted me there with his new manager, his old first manager and then his old new manager. So I got some pictures taken with him, and then he had me meet with his team and then individually meet with each member of the team. By the time I was done, I was like, Raj, you really need some help. He goes, I know. That's why I wanted to. So he's kind of a mess when it comes to running the team.
Okay.
But he's a brilliant guy, and they all, you know,
what's his forte then? Just closing business? What's his secret sauce? Closing business? He's a great closer, or finding people, or?
He's not really, like I said, so what are you doing with like banking, right? You should be like where every banker sends their clients. No, I don't really spend much time talking to those guys. I go, okay, we'll fix that. And then he manages the money for a lot of the biggest producers at Merrill. He individually manages it.
So he's a broker's broker kind of guy?
The broker's broker. He's consistently for the 10 years, outperformed the S&P consistently 10% better than the S&P 500. So the S&P.
Shit, that's really good.
Yeah, it's always, and he's done it in good markets and bad markets. So he has a upside downside capture ratio that's extraordinary.
Okay.
So, he's really good at what he does. And there are very few people that are, right?
More of a hardcore portfolio manager.
He's got two businesses. One is portfolio management, and other is financial advisor business. And what he focused on was portfolio management and not on financial advisory business. So he didn't have really any system for, you know, he'd meet with his clients twice a year, and it's kind of a mess. So he's got a guy now that internally markets to other FAs. So they've got like, I don't know, almost $1 billion of internal assets, and then $3.5 billion outside or something like that. Whatever. It's a big numbers.
And do you have any big international guys?
I used to, down there in your office, some of those guys are pretty big. I can't think of anybody else anymore. No, I've kind of drifted away. I've still got some guys in Florida, but not too many.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've hung in there.
What about like other guys that have like that are more similar to me?
There's nobody similar to you.
Thank you. The shit that I've been through, I earned that.
Well, you don't, there's very few people that are natural marketers.
Mm-hmm.
You're a salesman. You get it. You're a natural, you're a center of influence. You're very gregarious. You know, all you need to do is more of what you do. and make you, you need to just be consciously confident about what you do.
Yep. I agree.
And then tie it together and put it, you know, put it in a bow. Like this enthusiastically endorsed party. You should make that an annual event that becomes a really big deal in your community.
Yeah, I agree. And then, and I have a great house to do it in too.
Right. And then people will be like, wow, this is, this guy is very successful. This is a, I should be doing business with him.
Yep, I agree.
And there's lots of other things, but let's do the enthusiastically endorsed thing and do it right. And then network with your dentists and doctors. And I love your dentist model. I think you got it. I want to see you seriously every week. This guy would love you for the lunch and he'll bring a new guy every week. He'll bring another dentist, orthopedic surgeon, somebody. I'm telling you, he will.
Okay.
Just see how long it can go.
Okay.
You'll have fun.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah. And then, you know, then we just need to raise minimums. That's all. You just, you know, you got to force yourself to keep raising your minimums and, and start prospecting in places where you're uncomfortable.
Yep.
You know, get involved with the mayor and people that are, you know, influencers in the community that can, I've got a guy that's pretty like you. He's, but he's over in Sarasota now. And he's friends with the mayor and the assistant mayor. And they have got, and he's just peeling that city open. It's very interesting.
Let me ask you this, because I happen to be friendly with the mayor. Specifically with the mayor. I don't know if you, did you know that when you mentioned that?
No, but I suspected it.
So I'll just tell you the story real quickly. His dad, the former mayor, Javier Suarez, he gets ousted and it was a weird situation. He got thrown out basically.
Yeah.
It was a weird deal. Okay. So then he's at an auction for the, American Cancer Society. What they did is famous figures in Miami made a painting. Like Gloria Estefan had one, Gus Pachado Ford, and they had Javier Suarez. And he said, if you buy my painting, it'll come with lunch with me and I'll give you the inside info on Miami politics. And I said, shit, that's interesting. So I get into this bidding war over this kind of crappy painting, right? And that's another thing. I'd never been like in an auction where they like suck you in and you can't stop. It's like somebody stop my hand from going up, please, because I keep bidding. So anyways, I finally bought, it was like $3,000 for a $100 painting. So I got lunch with Javier Suarez and he looked me up and he said, who the heck would pay $3,000 for this thing? I want to find out who this guy is. He actually looks me up.
Of course
so
he did.
We meet for lunch. We laughed about it and then. It was a great lunch and we started meeting for lunch every 2 weeks. And one day he goes, hey, I want to invite my son Francis to lunch. I said, okay. So Francis has just gotten out of high school and he was a teller at the bank. And then Francis started joining us and he said, and he started calling Francis my, God, what's the word he used? Like I was his mentor. Anyways, so then Francis went to FIU and he needed a presentation done and I helped him with that. And I actually presented to 300 kids for extra credit, you know, to talk to them about the stock business. And then he went to Georgia, graduated from law school there, came back, became a kind of like a small time attorney here and actually did the closing on my home and then runs. And now. He's the mayor of Miami.
Francis Suarez. Cut it out.
Yeah, Francis Suarez, the mayor of Miami.
Okay.
Oh, okay, he called Francis my protege.
That's
he was my protege. So now that's the mayor of Miami. So I know pretty well the mayor of Miami.
So you just know? Need to have that lunch now with him once a month.
Now, how do I dig up prospects? From Francis, what do I,
What do you think he does for a living?
Talks to people with money that contribute to his cause. And he's a salesman. He's much more slick than his dad. His dad was more of a, almost like a writer. You know, very like the professor.
Yeah.
Francis is a slick salesman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
He really is. He's more of a political type than his dad.
All you do is ask him what he needs. What do you need?
Okay. I see him on the news all the time. Like
once a month at lunch.
The big news. Fox Network. I mean, CNBC. I mean, I see him.
That's where you're going to get big money. Now we're talking the next level of money. Okay.
Okay.
20, 50 million, 100 million. That's what you're talking about there.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Good. Good conversation.
Excellent. Hey, Rob, thank you very much for your time again. I always get something out of our talks.
Okay. You know? Let's make it happen. I look forward to the results.
Somebody asked me, you know, what do your talks with Rob look like? And I said, well, we meet on Zoom. He bounces me up and down in his lap. You know, and says, this is what you got to do, you know? So, I really get a lot of our talks. Thank you for your mentorship.
Well, thank you. Look forward to the results. Thanks.
All righty. I'll see you next month. Take care.